Good morning and welcome to the roundtable panel for this Tuesday, the 18th of November. I'm Joe Donahue. Let me introduce our panelists to you. They are in... I'm going to go around the rounded table. We begin with Alan Chartok, who is to my immediate right on the radio. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph. I hope your day is going well.
It's so far so good. And also, we welcome University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
And to my left, Times Union associate editor Mike Spain. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, everyone.
Very nice to have you, as always, here. So let us talk about the topics for the day and what is on our radar. We'll begin with immigration. What do you make of this? This is... Here we go. So President Obama's expected action lifting the threat of deportation for millions of undocumented immigrants, which could come as early as this week, will expand the authority of the executive branch into murky, uncharted territory. Don't we love murky, uncharted territory? The path is built on the long-accepted principle going at least as far back as the 1970s that any administration should have wide discretion over how it deals with those who are in this country illegally. Obama, however, is poised to take that leeway significantly farther than before. We then look at another article in the Washington Post this morning, which basically says that, the Republican leadership is now jumping out of their skin about this. So what do you make of...
I have a question.
Maybe, yes.
Maybe someone else
Rosemary.
Can answer. How is this uncharted when we know that Reagan and Bush have already taken rather similar steps about immigration?
Because it's Obama doing it, and he's not allowed to do what they do.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's a black president doing it, huh?
Well, yes, and especially since we know that Mitt Romney invented Obamacare, which we talked about at some length mm-hmm. yesterday, but when it was the Democrats who were doing it, that was bad. And he actually ran for president, Romney. And yet, why don't we wake up and understand how political, in quotes, this stuff is?
Well, the Republicans, as the story in the Washington Post says, have made it clear that if Obama does do this unilateral action to ease the deportation, cut the deportation of immigrants down, it'll be the equivalent of giving the middle finger to the incoming majority. And wasn't it Boehner who last week said, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned? They are daring him to do it. And yet, if he does it, how can they undo it and not even do more poorly with the Hispanic vote?
We have been talking about this amongst ourselves that Hispanics tend to be Republican by bent. They're conservative, they're Catholic. They would seem to align with Republicans, and yet that party seems to be pushing them away on purpose. I just don't get this. The people that Obama's action would help are not people sneaking in over the fences in the Rio Grande. They are people who have been brought here as children, or they are people who have American children who don't want to be separated from their families. It's humanitarian. It seems like good policy. Strange that this cannot be worked out.
Well, but interestingly, the Hispanic population in this country has been overwhelmingly voting for Democrats, despite the fact that I agree with you that their natural propensity is to go in the other way.
Conservative family.
I mean, you
values,
look at the Cuban population mm-hmm.
Well, that's
Florida.
That's a very different story.
Exactly.
That's a different story. Yeah.
So, but what is the Let's just play this out, though. If you go and you reverse you go through this policy, it could be quite temporary, right? I mean, the next president could come in and change it in a snap.
But is another president going to have the audacity to back off after
we're going to send 11 million people home or 12 million people home?
Well, I think that would be political suicide for any president.
And they know it, and that's why they're so angry.
And that's why they can complain. I mean, they can have their cake and eat it, too. They can complain about it and say that he can't do this unilateral action, he should be impeached, yada, yada, yada. And yet, they get to have this relief that's necessary and just for millions of people in the U.S.
And, Mike, it isn't as if some of them, including Boehner, haven't talked about doing exactly that and couldn't get the votes out of his conservative conference.
That's right. So, the Senate has already passed an immigration bill that would
do this. It is a really interesting constitutional battle, though, because it is about the relative powers of the two branches of government. And if this went to the Supreme Court right now, that would be, considering the court we have, we might have a curb on presidential powers, which I don't think I want to see now. But if it were a Republican president, I didn't like it, just as Obama didn't like it when Bush was doing this kind of stuff.
And don't think they're not sitting up there, those five guys, thinking about, how can we do it? Although they don't seem to care about the consequences of their actions. They do. They live in the moment more than otherwise, the Supreme Court. So I don't know.
Do you think that Representative Tom Cole was on ABC's This Week and he said, I think, a Republican from Oklahoma, he said, I think the president is actually trying to bait us into doing some of these extreme things that have been suggested. Do you think they'll...
Do you think he will trying be to bait us to do what? To pass legislation on that would be for him. I think he is. I think Obama, he's a constitutional lawyer. He is a lame duck. He has nothing to lose.
Meaning that it will go further than just change the policy, that it will actually result in legislation and having something
passed.
Well,
let me ask you this. If he could elicit, by doing this, by threatening to take this unilateral action, if he could broker an agreement from the incoming leadership in the Senate and also from Boehner in the House to have an up and down vote on the immigration bill that passed in the Senate a year ago, the compromise bill, he could back off and everybody would look good. Maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe this is what's going on.
Well, Andrew Cuomo does this a lot. He claims he advances something like a Moreland Act commission. We're going to investigate all the crimes in the legislature. And then he makes a compromise. It's okay, I'm cutting out the Moreland Act commission because you guys did what you were supposed to do and gave me ethics legislation, except for one thing. They didn't give him ethics legislation.
Well,
they meant anything.
If there's an up and down vote in the House of Representatives on the bill that did pass the Senate last year, if they can pass it again in the Senate,
that would be remarkable. It has to pass. Yeah. It would have to pass because the one thing those guys don't want to do is to vote and alienate every Hispanic in their districts.
Right.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about other issues as well. We welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. You can also post your comments for all to see at wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from Baba Louie's Pizza, Pittsfield, Great Barrington, and Hudson, New York. Natural wood-fired pizzas, salads, vegan soups, sandwiches, pasta dishes, and gluten-free options. BabaLouie'sPizza.com. Norman Rockwell Museum, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, presenting the new exhibition, Mort Kunstler, The Art of Adventure, NRM.org. And Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, New York, a green design showroom dedicated to healthy interiors with non-toxic flooring, wall finishes, beds, and more. Green-conscience.com.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. It's Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments, roundtable@wamc.org. When we were talking about this issue with about immigration, Alan brought up Andrew Cuomo. Let me bring this story to you. Governor Andrew Cuomo's top donors contributed six times as much to help elect Republicans to the state Senate as they did to similar efforts to help Democrats, according to a Capital New York analysis. The Democratic governor's top 25 donors gave his campaign committee $5.1 million between December 1st, 2010, and October 24th, 2014, the same group of people and organizations contributed just 444,000 to Senate Democrats. At the same time, they spent $2.7 million, so just over half of what they gave to Cuomo, over six times as much that they gave the Democrats, helping the campaigns of Senate Republicans. Stir, mix, and enjoy. Alan?
Well, I mean, what? Duh. One and one makes two. Cuomo is really a secret Republican.
I mean, it would seem that way based on the campaign contributions.
And has been not only on the campaign contributions. It is also that he's responsible for the Republican majority. You may remember when he had to humble himself and stand up before Zephyr Teachout's group and everybody else at the Working Families Party. He promised that he would do better, and he said, "I'll get the Democrats elected." And did he really lift a major finger? No. Well, he lifted a finger, all right, but it wasn't
To his defense, the trend nationally was going against incumbents, Democrats, and that may have been a factor in the elections. Also, he was very unpopular, you know, upstate. You could see by the map of the counties that did not go for him that he was very unpopular. So would it have helped Democrats to go out and campaign alongside them? It's a little bit like Obama, except that Cuomo still won, you know, easily against Rob Astorino. But what could he have done, Alan, to help Democrats
get control? Well, for starters, he could have mobilized some money for them.
Money.
Big money, you see?
And from his own campaign?
Okay, but in mobilizing money...
Yes.
So does this... So I'm just playing devil's advocate here and asking the question, but if you are one of the top 25 donors of Governor Cuomo, and you want to... And you have a large pot of money, $500,000 that you want to donate... Hello. And you want to donate.
Yeah.
So how much play does the governor have in where you give that money?
Oh, no, the governor, the reason they love him is because basically they believe he's a Republican, that he's a Republicrat, and that he is doing what they want him to. Look, you don't have to be from Mars. No, let me put it differently. You don't have to be really terribly politically perceptive to know that on things like public schools and on other things, this guy is not a friend of the traditional Democratic voter. He is basically he keeps the Republicans in power. We know he does. I can go on with my analysis for you, but he does. He said he was going to veto the reapportionment bill. Nothing makes me crazier than the thought of Dean Skelos next to a big machine, the Republican leader, saying, "Oh, machine, draw me districts where we can't lose." How in hell is that a democracy? I mean, if that was going on in one of the places that Rosemary visits abroad to tell them how to be more democratic, we would all shake our fingers and say, "That's terrible. How can we let them draw their own districts where they can't lose?"
Are you saying that New York is split up in a more unfair way than some of the Balkan states?
Yes.
wanted to clear that up.
No, I have no idea. But I am telling you, it ain't right. And so he said he was going to do it. He ran on that. But in the end, he didn't do it. And we all know it. And they get to do what they want. And there's no question that he wanted a Republican Senate, because then, like Papa Cuomo, they could be the ones who said, no, you can't have these things that your liberal constituency is demanding. So, you know, Mike, you can make these arguments, and I think they're fine. But...
So the way he could have helped Democrats take control of the Senate would be to compel his contributors to contribute to Democrats.
No, those contributors weren't going to give him the money if he was doing that, or many of them weren't, because they were buying his friendliness.
He really didn't need the money because he had $45 million and his opponent had a couple of million.
He'll use it later on, if you know what I mean.
Put it in your suit for later. Yeah. Top pocket, just, you know, never know. So does this have, what are the ramifications of this for governing in the state of New York? Also, what are the ramifications if he were to become, as you were saying, for later, in perhaps seeking another office.
Hope springs eternal. So, yes, I don't think there's anybody in this state in the political, you know, community who doesn't think that he'd like to be president and that he'd like to run for president. But he can't right now unless, of course, Hillary, for some reason, decides she doesn't want to do it. In which case, I think you'd see him throwing his hat in. I don't think he would get it. I don't think he'd get the nomination, but he would certainly.
But he's a young man in politics.
That's right. He's a young man in politics. And assuming, that he plays it right and that he gets some speech lessons and does some other things, then he would be in a position, you know,
if he were going to be successful at the national level, he really does have to be more of what you're describing, a Republicrat. The centrists,
that's right,
are the ones who win in this country. So is that, sure, is this such a terrible thing that he's doing?
Well, it depends.
He's deceiving us, you know, way out liberals.
Depends on what your political philosophy is.
That's what I'm saying. He's deceiving us way out liberals.
Well, I don't know that he's,
He said, I'll help Democrats come in, and he didn't really, according to...
Well, is that what a Democrat has to do if they have political aspirations? Excuse me. Is that what a Democrat from New York State
has to do?
Well, yes.
If you were seeking national office.
Sort of like Alan, a Republican who wants to win, who has to become more conservative than they are, really, like Chris Christie would be doing. Is this really such a terrible, terrible thing our governor is doing?
Well, in my opinion, yes. It's dishonest. I mean, I think that he paints himself as a liberal on things like gun control. God bless him. I think that was great. On other things, but in fact, when it comes to the meat and potatoes thing, he's a Clintonian. That's what he is. Clinton won his office by being a conservative, and that is the playbook that he is following right now. It may well work. But on the other hand, there are some of us who think sometimes you do things because they're right and not because they're political.
I don't know. I think he may have actually legitimately mixed views of liberal and conservative. I don't think he's strictly liberal all the way.
That is for sure.
But
he's not strictly conservative. I mean, he did get marriage equality and gun control.
So how is that dishonest if he truly is?
Is it dishonest if you do what you do to get elected?
Yeah.
I don't think
Well, there's situation ethics here going on.
You know, you do what you need to do so you can get in power to do the right things. I suppose every politician has rationalized that. Somewhere.
Well, you think that they really mean that when they rationalize it. Do you understand it's a double, triple, quadruple fake out?
I think some people take a moderate view publicly, and then when they get in office, they get more conservative or vice versa.
You do what you have to do.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. You can join us by going to roundtable at WAMC.org. Go to the website, WAMC.org/roundtable. There you can actually post. You can post your thought, and we'll get it. The world will get it. They can comment on it. It's a big, giant community. It's the roundtable of ideas, and you can participate. WAMC.org/roundtable, and we would love to hear from you on these issues and many more coming up. We will continue our conversation. Alan, Rosemary, and Mike Spain. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 9:35 is the time on a very chilly Tuesday morning. Ray Graff temporarily in for Joe Donahue. It's a long and sordid tale, but I'm here briefly with Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain. And the story so far is that I haven't really been listening this morning. I've been doing work, but I understand it's been a cracking good show. And we have some letters, Alan.
Yes, but I would point out, just in case people get alarmed, that Joe is in fine physical health.
He is in fine fettle.
So it was just something that came up.
It's a matter to which he needed to take care of.
I would be so interested in knowing what that was if I were out there listening.
Yeah.
So we can't say, can we?
No, we shouldn't talk about this at this time, but it's mysterious, and we'll let you wonder at home, and so there.
Okay, so Don writes, for 6 years, the Republicans have vilified the president and obstructed every progressive initiative. Why should he worry about their threats now?
Good point.
Well, I think so.
Sue me, he's saying.
Yep. Okay. And Dan says, Cuomo could have transferred millions of dollars to Senate Democratic coffers if he wanted to help them, either their campaign committees or individual candidate committees. There's no limit on transfers between committees in New York. He chose not to. And that's from Robin. But Robin, here's my point. There's honor among people. And, you know, some people say thieves. I wouldn't ever say that.
No.
But there's honor among political types. And what happens is if they give you the money because you're pursuing conservative agenda, you don't take their money and give it to somebody that they didn't want to give it to because that they will give it to you again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, was all of his $45 million from conservative backers?
No. But on the other hand, don't think they don't have their eye on the prize.
Right.
They do. Okay. So that's...
What's the prize?
Winning, political power, getting
the agenda,
getting
through.
Their agenda on maybe real estate or banking or something,
oh, I see.
Or schools or charter schools, done. Okay, so Bob says, question here. Is there in the Albany area a credible individual of Hispanic descent who might be invited to join the panel as a guest to further discuss the issue or a community's view on political aspects of the president's threatened executive action? And we would be delighted to have such a person. But we do have a panel, and every day, and I think the same person writes to us with a different way of, you know, making...
Saying we want expert. We want an expert panel, not a general panel.
Yeah, right. Or not even an expert panel, but, you know, trying to make as much possible trouble as they can. Okay, that's just the way it is, and I don't like it.
All right,
okay,
fine.
Okay, Terrence writes, I agree with Dr. Shartok about the Moreland Commission, but even so, I get tired of his beating this horse to death. Looking forward to a true diversity of views on the station. Well, look, Terrence, you just sat there and listened to Rosemary, Michael, and I discussing something in which we totally disagreed. So where is your point about diversity now? Nowhere. Okay, so...
where's your messiah now?
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, so now... Edward so G. now, Andy says, okay, Cuomo, it's titled, Dino, D-I-N-O, Democrat in name only.
That's cute.
I printed one out from the website as well
for
you.
Oh, yes, you did, and
that's
thank
a very
you
interesting
much.
One.
Thank
I thought you might find it fascinating.
That
sir.
Usually means when you say very interesting, something that mirrors your ideas.
Not at all. It happened to pop up on the website, and I thought, hey, you know, you might not have this.
Okay.
So enjoy.
But why wouldn't I have it? Aren't we supposed to get everything that goes to the website?
You don't get everything. You want everything, but you don't get everything.
Well, who's the webmaster around
just
here anyway?
Just read it.
Okay, all right. Just a thought about President Obama's executive action on immigration. While I feel any executive leader has prerogative power, as articulated by John Locke, the power to act faces a possibility for rebuke from the people. With the president no longer on the ballot, it seems as though he's not entirely in line with this principle of governance. Any thoughts on this? Anybody?
Well.
Any thoughts? In other words, you weren't listening. But the question is, if the Lockean principle of democracy
he's duty bound to do it.
Is he doing what the people want, or is he doing what he wants? Mm. Well, you know, there are two theories here. First of all, I don't think it excludes the idea that he's doing what the people want. I happen to think he's doing what the people want, and he's the president. And then until he isn't the president, he gets to do that, right? Or am I
yeah, I wish he had used this technique to do something about gun control, which every poll, every kind of measurement shows people really do want.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is fine to work on immigration, which I'm in favor of, good, do it on gun control.
Did you guys talk this morning about the New York Times piece today on the president may have to fight his own words on this regarding executive
action?
Well,
that's right.
Yes,
you know, he's been sending a lot of people back. No two ways about it. They've been rounding people up and sending them back.
His deportation rate is extremely high, in fact, in comparison to previous administrations.
The interview, and I forget what page it was on in the New York Times,
yeah.
Basically talked about an interview he had done in Spain where he said, listen, I can only go so far with executive action. I'm not the emperor of the United States.
Right.
I'm the president of the United States. And to make a sweeping immigration move through executive action would undermine the
the Constitution.
The Democratic principle.
So it would seem to be a 180-degree
shift. Well, yes,
shift.
It does. And Al D'Amato put it best in one of the greatest pieces of political obiter dictum that ever occurred when he said, that was then and this is now. So, you know, people change their minds.
But does that make it right?
They evolve.
Well, he said that about Kirsten Gillibrand. You'll remember she was a senator. Right. She was a congresswoman. Yeah.
From upstate New York.
She reflected the views of her constituency when they asked her about all of those things, guns and gay rights and everything else.
She was conservative.
D'Amato said she'll evolve. Yeah, or no, Schumer actually.
Schumer,
said,
yes, it was.
She'll evolve.
And she welded.
So okay. So, Ray, that's an interesting point and one which we can all look at, but my own sense is people do change their minds. People look at Franklin Roosevelt. You know, we were going to stay. Not one kid was going to war. When they were staying out of war, we're staying out of war, and then we were in the biggest war ever.
Okay. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. There are other ways. You can, of course, comment on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, if you wish. Is that it for now, or you have more?
No, there are more.
Oh,
do you want them, or don't you want them?
Please do. I got all day.
That's funny. Joseph says, during the economic crisis, the flow of immigrants across the border reversed. Those immigrants here deserve to be included, recognized, and provided with hope. Threats leveled at the president if he takes executive action are no different than threats Republicans make routinely. Impeachment over this issue would solidify Democratic majorities in the future and provide a close-up of the petty cruelty of Republicans who have the singular agenda of serving their masses, the Kochs. All right, that's what Joseph said. Okay, and Ken says, it amazes me that the GOP is so angry over the president's plans to take his own action on immigration after the Republicans have refused to do anything for the last few years. Yet the Republicans have no problem with their ongoing and totally futile plans to repeal the Health Care Reform Act. What a continuing waste of time, effort, and resources to accomplish nothing but score political points with their base. Mm. That's what he said.
Actually, I'm worried about these efforts to undo Obamacare with an assault in the legislature and in the Supreme Court. It could be badly, badly dismantled.
And it's working. Because we see the poll data shows that more and more people don't like it. They don't have any idea what it is, but they don't.
Yeah. However, our listener's point may be an interesting one in that if there is some success by the Republicans to roll this back or to stop any movement on immigration, then does that put Democrats who suffered a pretty resounding slapping on Election Day, does that put them back then in a position of, We have the issues to run now, and we are going to run the table.
Sure.
Well, that's probably the game.
It's possible.
You think they're that cynical that would be the game?
Could be.
To plan to fail in order to succeed?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the policy issue isn't what's important. What's important is that first they mobilize everybody against it, and then it fails, and they say, "See, it failed," and put us into office in order to make change. That's what they'll say.
What's the end game, though? Is there ever a point where
the end game is winning?
But at some point, then isn't there a point where I have won and I have to do something now, or is it just to continue to win the next one?
That's a very interesting question. In fact, it's a profound question, and I don't really know that, but I suspect if it works, they'll keep on doing it, and if they get into power, then we'll see whether or not they make some changes, even minor changes. Let's face it, the Bushes wanted minor changes on this. Boehner himself talked about immigration and immigration reform.
And a bipartisan group of senators came with a plan that passed in the Senate. Yeah.
Ryan says, in 1863, when Lincoln freed the slaves, many believed he didn't have the authority to do so. Even today, it's disputed, but he did it anyway. If the president does the humane thing and lowers deportation rates and keeps families together and starts the country down the path to stop bad working conditions and racism against immigrants, he will be remembered kindly by many people for it. He's taking the long view here. Times are hard, and people are just looking for a scapegoat.
That's a nice letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you'd like to send us a nice letter, by the way, the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Keep them brief if possible. And I guess everybody's been following that
most people
to a large extent.
I have left out a couple of last sentences.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, so Scott says, Obama is not a king or a dictator. He needs to work with other parts of the government. Nobody asked me what my opinion on guns is, so don't assume everybody believes what you do. There are polls that show any point of view. It depends on who is asked. Obamacare, the conservative rural people are brainwashed by the conservative agenda, constantly repeated on Fox. Fox is on every TV in every McDonald's in middle America.
Really?
There's TVs and McDonald's?
There were TVs? Yeah, yeah. McDonald's.
I didn't know there was a slide and some playground equipment in some, but
in
I had
bathroom,
no idea.
I can't tell you.
No idea that was a no-spin zone. Let's take a quick break here. It is the roundtable on WAMC. We'll take a look out for Joe. We'll see if he's coming back. We may or may not be back.
Support comes from Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. MannixMarketing.com. Sundog Cider at Salacqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. SundogCider.com. At Springbrook, Oneonta, New York, presenting Gifts Unwrapped, a community art show, December 11th to the 19th. SpringbrookNY.org for submission and information.
Boy, do I have a story for you. I won't tell it to you, but wow.
You're already getting emails. What really happened to Joe?
Yeah, well, as soon as I find out, I'll let you know. Let me just put it this way. Sometimes when you think things are there where you put them, then they're not. And you never know.
Big things, little
things. Big things, little things. Yeah, you never know.
Things with a steering wheel?
Yeah. Where did I put it? I don't know what I did with it. All right. Here we go. Do we have any more letters or we're going to move on?
Here's a letter.
All right.
Okay. John says, I agreed with Rosemary yesterday about how can people be against health insurance for all. It seemed Ray disagreed, and I've been waiting 24 hours to hear his stance on this.
I wasn't here yesterday.
No, Libby was here yesterday.
Yes, that is true.
Yes.
I don't know what view of government insurance it is you agree with.
Yeah. Okay. And Ray, because he's a newsman, seldom takes a position
personal
in his
stance,
own voice.
Right.
He's careful to walk down the
line. Yeah, quite frequently he'll say something like, some people think.
Yes.
Okay, so...
Devil's advocate, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anna says, why talk about only Hispanics when it comes to immigration? People from every country in the world are involved. And what about justice for legal immigrants to the United States? And that's from Anna. Okay.
Yeah, but the numbers we're talking about are overwhelmingly from South America. So
okay,
that's why we say it.
Very good. Very good. All right.
All right. And we move on. We go to the story about the doctor who passed away as a result of Ebola yesterday. I guess the story is especially troubling now because his test came back negative.
The original test.
The original test
after
came
a couple
back
of days of symptoms,
negative. His symptoms
kissed him in jubilation. So sad.
Yes. Then, when his symptoms remained nearly a week later, they took another test, and that one came back positive, sending him the doctor with ties to Maryland on this quest for treatment, which was then, of course, too late. He died early Monday at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. His family left to wonder what would have happened if had received earlier treatment. And I guess this is one of those going back to some of the other issues that we've had in this fight of Ebola, even in this country, of how much do we trust the tests? What do we know? How important are these quarantines? And I'm not going to give you another opportunity to go after the nurse in Maine, but
Yeah, I actually was thinking of her. I mean, I'm actually very glad the story is back on the news that we're talking about Ebola again, because we have this idea that, okay, well, see, you were all wrong about it, made a big deal about it, and it's all gone. Or it was a big deal, but not in Africa, and we didn't cover that. The truth is it's a complex, very difficult, and very scary disease, and we need to keep on covering it. The medicine is not down. We don't have a cure for it. We thought getting people to the United States would save their lives, but it didn't this man, because it's so rapidly attached.
Early aggressive treatment is apparently the model, and because of this missed test, he didn't have that.
So it seems to me that the kinds of things like quarantine and testing, and we know that there are false positives, so test again, we have to do all of that.
I was going to just say, you cut me off at the pass.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. You were right. And that is there anybody in this room who has ever suffered because a blood test comes back, a routine blood test comes back, and just
false and the guys positive.
We're gonna do this one again, and then it comes back, and it's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's not an exact science the way we would hope it is.
Right.
Well, there was also a question with this doctor who's a surgeon on how he actually. Got Ebola.
Actually treating Ebola victims.
Right, he was his surgeon, and that's not a treatment for people with Ebola.
But I thought about that. Yeah. Well, clearly, he was dealing with other people.
That's
right. And some of those other people obviously had Ebola.
Yeah, that's generally the explanation. You
know. And then of course, the other part here is how many doctors have been lost in West Africa because of Ebola. It's an area that doesn't have a lot of doctors to begin with. These are very heroic people, I think. And they're dying, and they have to be replaced. We have to figure out what's going on with this disease. A lot of work for people here.
When you think about the specifics as to, obviously this was a doctor coming from Liberia or Sierra Leone, right? Coming into Nebraska. So right now, I'm stuck on your point, Rosemary, about how quick we lose these stories, you know, that how quick they move on
We didn't talk about this much. It was like, okay, Ebola's over, the worst is over. But, you know, it has spread into another country. We're still losing people that we may have the science to save. It's not over.
I believe it was the Berkshire Eagle, which ran a terrific editorial the other day, basically calling out people who had engaged in what they called hysteria in their editorial, and saying, you know, we've gone too far on this thing, and people should basically be ashamed of, you know, having created this monster, which is just done nothing.
And I that's what I reject. I do not think
they
it
may
is
have been
hysteria.
Listening to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've been accused of it on this program. I do not think it is hysteria to take Ebola immensely serious and throw all kinds of resources at it, both in Africa and here in the United States, where it is not indeed a threat as it is elsewhere.
Do you think it justifies the reaction that people have had, though? You know, hundreds of people in New York have gone to emergency rooms with cold symptoms thinking they have Ebola. If you go through the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, you'll see people with masks on, afraid to get on, you know.
The same thing happened with anthrax.
But the
alternative is you tamp down public fear, you don't talk about it, you don't make it a concern, and people who do have it, who ought to be concerned, don't get treatment.
Wouldn't you agree, though, the answer is to make sure everybody knows as much as we possibly can about it?
And don't you think that's what we've been doing, and we still have been accused of hysteria?
Right. Yeah.
And I would point out that 5,000 people in Africa are infected. So once it gets going, it's hard to get the genie back in the bottle.
Isn't it 5,000 have died?
Oh, they've died.
5,000 have died. More have been infected.
You're right. It's huge.
And we ought to, as a people of this planet, be concerned about global spread of disease. So, no, I don't see where this, oh, you're being hysterical, comes from.
Let's talk to what's another health story. For the first time since statins have been regularly used, a large study has found that another type of cholesterol-lowering drug can protect people from heart attacks and strokes. The finding can help millions at high risk of heart attacks who cannot tolerate statins or do not respond to them, and it helps clarify the role of LDL cholesterol,
the dangerous form.
The bad cholesterol.
Some had argued that statins reduced heart attack risk not just by lowering LDL levels, but also by reducing inflammation. The new study indicates that the crucial factor is LDL, and the lower the levels, the better. The six-year study, reported Monday at the annual meeting of the American Heart Association, involved 18,000 people who had heart attacks or episodes of chest pain so severe they went to a hospital. They were randomly assigned to take a statin or a combination of a statin and the alternative drug to further reduce LDL
which
levels.
Is what we call Zetia.
Yes.
Now, my cardiologist, who was on, Vox Pop yesterday, Dr. Lemansky, had me on both a statin and Zetia. And there was a big question, and that's the drug, the alternative drug, Joe, that they gave out,
right.
Which was a combination.
Is that fairly commonly prescribed, Zetia?
Well, it used to be. Mm-hmm. What happened, they knew, was that if you take Zetia, it drives down your numbers, your bad numbers, your LDL mm-hmm. numbers. But they didn't know what the outcome had been. In other words, what the outcomes had been. And there was some talk that the outcomes hadn't made a difference. You could take it could drive down the numbers, your blood numbers, but that it wouldn't stop you from dying. Now, this new study proves rather conclusively that it does. So God bless Dr. Lemansky.
So getting your numbers down is really what it's all about. Getting the bad cholesterol numbers down is really the most important
thing. That's what this article is saying. And,
there's sides. A lot of people who take simvastatin regularly have side effects. They have muscle aches and cramps and other side effects.
Yeah.
And evidently, there are no identified side effects with Zetia or Zimtimbi or whatever it's
what do they call it, formal name. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's good news for people who have trouble with, taking Zocor or simvastatin.
But, there are differences in the statins. I mean, they had me on one in the beginning. I got muscle cramps. They put me on another one. No muscle cramps. So it's the way it is.
So we take this as good news then?
I think it's good news because,
it's
this huge study proves that they're on to something here.
We have about a minute left. They fired after just 10 weeks. They fired the head of the Today Show.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
They seem like they're in a tailspin a bit.
Well, they have a problem. I mean, we watch it every once in a while here, and it's not very good.
Nope.
It doesn't. It's gotten so far away from the news.
Now they have the infighting with the anchors, and that's great.
Right.
Yeah. That's always fun.
That's always good.
Sure.
It's all anchors.
The tabloids are reporting about the infighting among
with Natalie anchors. Morales Deborah Turner. No, she's the president.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Tamron Hall. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's all Ann Curry's fault. It all started
it's
with that.
It's not Ann Curry's fault.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the fault of the people that got rid of Ann Curry is probably better.
Well, the way they got rid of her.
Yes. How and
really
why deserved all that.
Well, they're all in panic because, the Disney company is in charge now.
Right. That's right. The Disney show is number one.
ABC. Well, they don't want to be behind ABC.
Yeah. ABC is number one in the morning.
Yeah.
They're all bad.
They listen
to radio in the morning. Forget television.
Much better.
Well, and it's also, and I know this is a distinction that is lost on many people, but this is a program that comes out of the news division.
Yeah, it's
that
all,
alone is
no
enough
news,
to give you
I
a.
I know. It's all cooking
pause,
and little makeovers
it's
models. Ugh.
Yeah,
a lot of people in short skirts.
Well,
oh, I love that. I'll get up for that any day. Jeez.
Well, you might not, but there are others who will, apparently. Because
apparently not enough. They just fired the head of
Jamie Horowitz. Well, that didn't work for him.
Or maybe your skirts have to be shorter.
We're out of time. We'll give Alan the last word on that. Roundtable at WAMC.org.